Evening 20, if you turn there, John chapter 20 and verse 19 through 22. And we begin to read at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be to you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. I'd like for us to look at this evening at our lovely Lord in the way that he speaks to us in many ways. And this evening I'd like for us to see the hands that speak. You know, we've often seen the picture of the portrait of the praying hand, perhaps the speaking of a sacrifice, and perhaps even the way that the Lord may have held his hand in the Garden of Gethsemane, the sacrifice that he was about to make on the cross as he prayed to his Father. But I'd like for us to look this evening at the hands in a different light. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24 and verse 20, verse 50, Luke's Gospel 24 and 50, and when he led them out as far as Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. When the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be taken back, going to ascend into heaven, he lifted up his hands. Oh, if we look at the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see the hands of Jesus, and he showed his hands to his disciples. And there, as we see in John chapter 20, where he had said, and he said unto them, and he showed unto them his hands, the hands wherewith he was pierced. He was pierced in his hands, the hands perhaps that held him to the cross by the nails and the strength that was in those nails and nailed through his flesh and held him to the cross. The hands of Jesus. And he showed these hands to his disciples. And these hands of the Lord Jesus Christ were laboring hands. They were not hands that just were at ease. Because we read in Mark's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 6 that he was of a carpenter's son. He was a carpenter's son. His foster father was Joseph, and he was a carpenter. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure, as a young person, even perhaps as a young boy around the age of 12, he learned to build things because he was the builder of everything. But with these hands, they were not idle hands, and these hands were used. They were used for constructive purposes. In all these examples, he gives to you and he gives to me. As he ascended, he lifted up his hands. When he came to them in the room there, he came through the walls, and he just walked right through. The door was closed, and he showed unto them his hands, the hands that were pierced. And I'm sure that they looked at these hands, they were calloused hands. They were hands that had known the labor in the workshop. And I'm sure that they did, because he became obedient to his father, his foster father, and his mother. And I'm sure that he was raised in that way. And they were the hands of a servant. The Lord Jesus was not one that just stood aside. When people need ministered to, he was one who was there to minister. He said to them in Matthew's Gospel, even as the Son of Man didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came to serve others, and this he did with his hands. He traveled with his feet. Very seldom, I imagine, did he ride anything. Perhaps maybe once in a while a donkey. But the hands were the hands that we see about the Lord Jesus Christ many times in the Scriptures. And these hands show forth, as we have sung tonight, satisfied with Thee, Lord Jesus. The hands that He used, and we're resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, resting by the work of His hands, the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were the hands of a servant, ready to do service to others. He washed the disciples' feet. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, He washed the disciples' feet. Now, when they came into this upper room, there didn't happen to be a servant. Now, most of the time, when, you know, in the Jewish economy, there was someone, a servant, to, and this was the lower part of the caste of this economy, in the Jewish economy. And there wasn't anyone there to do the washing of the feet. So the Lord Jesus took a towel, where? In His hands. And He girded Himself, and He stooped down with His hands, and He washed the disciples' feet. He washed the dirt off of their feet, just like He did at the cross of Calvary, when those hands were nailed to the cross there, and the feet were nailed to the cross, and the blood came forth. From them we were washed from our sin by those hands, the hands of the precious Lord. Not too good to be a servant, not too good to stoop down and gird Himself with a towel and take His hands and take the basin and wash the disciples' feet. He had an argument from several of them, and even Peter says, "You'll not wash my feet." And the Lord says, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me." And Peter said, "Well, Lord, not my feet only, but wash all of me." And see, Peter still didn't understand. And the Lord said, "Peter, if you've had a bath, all you need to have washed is your feet." And so he was on his knees washing the disciples' feet. Here was the Master, the God of the universe. But He used His hands. He used His hands to identify Himself. He used His hands, and when He raised them up to go up into glory, He used His hands to, when He came into the upper room, He used His hands for many things, as we would see in the Scriptures. And in Philippians chapter 2, He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. It made no difference to Him what the task was. Whatever the task was, the Lord Jesus took that task upon Himself. He took it in His hands, upon His hands and upon Himself, to do what God would have Him to do. And this is what He asked you, and He asked me to do. He asked us to be servants. And, you know, when we read the accounts in the Scriptures, if you look at the book of the Revelation, and then also that this in Revelation chapter 1, and you can also cross-reference that with Paul's writings. But in the book of the Revelation, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Him to show unto His servants." To show unto His servants. And you can find Romans chapter 1 in the same thing that Paul says. Paul, a servant. And when we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ was, He said that He didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. And that's what He wants you and wants me to do with our hands. The ability that we have to work and the ability that we have to show forth what we can do. And we can, and it's, of course, it isn't what these hands can do, it's what the Lord Jesus Christ can do through these and with these hands. But if we look at Him as our example, look at Him at the way that He used His hands, the hands that speak. And every part of the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to you and speaks to me. And I believe these hands were calloused hands, but they were also tender hands. The Lord Jesus Christ had tender hands where the disciples the little children were gathering around the Lord, and the disciples rebuked them, and they said, when they were being brought to be blessed. And I think He took them in those calloused hands, but tender hands. And He said, "Suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And so here is the tender hand, the tenderness of the Lord Jesus Christ to love a little child. And he says to Peter, he says, unless you be converted and become as little children, you shall no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we have to see him in this wonderful way. And he was very tender in his dealings with men. And there was a time when Peter had said, I don't know him. And I'm sure he used his hand to illustrate this. I don't know the man. I don't know who he is. But they said, you act like him. You were with him. You used your hand to cut off the ear of the servant Malchus. You used the sword to cut off his ear. You used the hand. But you see, the tenderness of the Lord Jesus Christ, he probably, when he went and he looked at Peter with the, and perhaps the eyes of the tenderness of the hands of the Lord Jesus broke Peter's heart, and he wept. He went and wept bitterly. Oh, the tenderness of these hands, the strongest hands in the world. They're hands that have everything in the balance. Everything is in his hands, the whole creation. As the children used to sing in the song, he's got the whole world in his hands. And the Lord Jesus does, because he's created all things, and all things were created by him and for him. And these were healing hands, the hands that touched, the hands that were ready to do various things. He took his hands and he put them on the eyes of Bartimaeus, and he saw. He saw with his tender hands, the hands of God, the hands of the ruler of the universe. They were strong hands. They were calloused hands. They were servant's hands, but they were tender hands, and they were compassionate hands. There was blind Bartimaeus who couldn't see, and the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ were tender unto him, and he touched him, and he saw. He was able to see, not only physically, but he was able to see spiritually. And the Lord Jesus Christ is more interested in you and in me being able to see spiritually. He wants you and I as Christians to look into his word and see these things. See the hand of the Lord. And we use the expression, the hand of the Lord is upon us. But we could use the hands of the Lord are upon us. He was tender in that way. Healing. And then there were sick bodies. Old big blustery Peter. You can see him again in the limelight. And his mother-in-law was sick with a fever. And the Lord Jesus Christ went in and touched her with his hand. And she raised up, and when she did, she served. And she served with her hand. And this is something that is so wonderful. Once we're raised up, we should be willing to do this. So this wonderful one. And then these hands... with the palsied one in Mark's gospel, where they took off the roof and brought a palsied one and laid him down before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And he said to the crowd, which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk? And he said, that you might know that the Son of God, or the Son of Man, has power on earth to forgive sin. I say to thee, arise. And I'm sure that the Lord Jesus, many times over, he took them by the hand and helped them up. Now, he could have just said, get up, and many of them did. But the Lord Jesus is ready to help, and he's ready to help you and ready to help me. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. He loves you, and he loves me, and he wants to help, and he's ever there as a hand and in the hands of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, these hands of the Lord Jesus were supporting hands. Now, out on the sea, they were one evening, the disciples were out there, and of course it was late at night, and they were out there rowing on the sea, and they couldn't go anywhere, and they were in difficulty, and here comes the Lord Jesus walking on the water. And Peter says, Lord, if it be you, you just bid me come to you, and I'll come. And the Lord Jesus says, come on, Peter. And Peter gets out of that boat, and don't criticize him too much, because how many of you have ever taken one step on water? Old Peter walked on that water, and he walked on it until he got his eyes off of the hands, off of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was in dire circumstances, to whom did he call? He said, Lord, save me. What happened? The Lord Jesus Christ reached down and with his hands, with his tender hands, with his all-saving hand, old, big, blustery Peter, and he was always had his foot in his mouth, and he reached down and he picked him up. All he had to do was say, Lord, save me. And the Lord reached down. And you and I are in that situation many times. You know, we criticize old Peter, but the Lord wants you and he wants me to do something. He wants us to use these hands. And he says, use your hands. Use your talent. Use your ability. And many times we have to say, Lord, save me. And he picks us. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about saving me from this situation, saving me from that situation. And he reaches down, and he's tender, and he picks us up. And how he loved Peter. You know, Peter was, he's an interesting person. He'd be somebody to meet when you get home to glory after we've seen the Lord for a long time. Peter will be somebody that's interesting to meet. And he was ever in trouble by his mouth. But then after he became converted, the Lord said, after you're converted, after he's gotten all straightened out and turned around, he was a coward. But then when after the Holy Spirit came, he was no coward then. I don't even know that really he was a, I might have misspoken there. He used the sword. He was ready to cut off the ear. I think he got for the head. You know, I don't think he aimed for that ear. He was ready to get that head to be cut off. But the problem was, he cut off the ability of a person to hear. In Luke's gospel, you read that the Lord took his hand, picked it up, put it back on. Gave him the ability to hear, no matter if he were on the other side or not. But getting back to Peter, Peter denied him. Have you? Peter denied him three times. Have you? But then when the Lord Jesus was risen from the dead, he said, go tell the disciples and who? Peter. Oh, he loved Peter. And he restored him, and he walked with him, and he restored him, and perhaps he had his arm around him as he was walking along, and he said, Peter, do you love me? He said it three times. Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I follow you. And that's Greek words. There's a strong love. And he asked Peter that way, and Peter answered in the other kind of love. But he loved Peter. He loves you. He loves me. And as they were later, they were camping out or fishing along the seashore, and he comes and he says, hey, do you have any meat? And they came and they ate meat with him. He says, handle me. Handle me and see. They handled him. And I'm sure they took hold of his hand. They took hold of his hand, this wonderful person. And, you know, he said on another occasion about these wounded hands, it was the nails print in his hands that identified him. All four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record the crucifixion. Well, why shouldn't they? Because that's the important part of our salvation. They record the crucifixion, the nailing of his hands, and the nailing of his feet, his walk, his service. They thought they were nailing the one to the cross, and that would be the end of it. But oh, that was just the beginning of the working of these hands. There was much more work after the cross of Calvary, as far as the Lord for you and for me. Now, the work on the cross was finished. Salvation was completed. But, oh, the work that goes on day and day in, day out for you and for me. We have an advocate in heaven, one who is pleading for you and for me. just like the praying hands pleaded in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they speak of a message of love and tender care. The Lord says to those that are not saved, and He could use the same thing to you and to me, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." I could see His hands. And He could say that to you and to me each and every day. "Come unto me." He says, they were told by Peter to cast all our care upon Him, for He cares for us. Casting all our care upon Him. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's a message of sacrifice for each and every one of us. In John's Gospel, again, chapter 20 and verse 27, Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." Thomas says, "I won't believe unless I can touch the scars in his hand and thrust my hand into his side." And he says to Thomas, he says, "Behold my hands." Because he said to them up in the 20th verse, "And he showed unto them his hands." He showed very many things to you and to me by the tenderness of his hands. In Isaiah chapter 50, turn there with me. Isaiah 50 and verse 2. "Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer?" The Lord's asking, He asks us to Israel. He's asking to the world today. And He can also be asking to you and to me as Christians, "Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness, their fish stingeth, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst." Think of what He said. "Is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem?" We have hands for friendly help. We have hands for life. We have these hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, this is so dear to me. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 41 and verses. There's two verses there, verses 10 and 13. Underline these in your Bible, my dear friends. He said to, this was in the final restoration of Israel about which He was speaking. "And to you and to me, we have, oh, this wonderful privilege here on this earth to be His servants, to understand the hands that have done all these things for us, the hands of the perfect, wonderful Lord Jesus Christ." And He says in verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." What more could you ask? The righteousness of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in His hand. Oh, my friend, the wonderfulness of this. Now look at verse 13. "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Now over in John's Gospel, chapter 10. Oh, how He uses these words over and over again. In John chapter 10 and verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Oh, the hands of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, "My Father, which giveth them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Think of that. The hands of the very God-man that walked this earth. Oh, the tenderness of it. The they were, as we think back over it, the pair of hands that belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ were hands that were laboring. They were hands that were hands of a servant. They were hands that perhaps were calloused, but were tender hands. They were hands that were healing hands. They were hands that were supporting hands. They were wounded hands. They were speaking hands. All these are true today, except the wounded hands will never be wounded again. Now, I believe they'll be looking that way throughout all eternity. I think those hands will be that way because he ascended into heaven by the same body that he was crucified on the cross of Calvary, except with blood. And he ascended into heaven that way. And it says he lifted up those hands. No wonder he tells us to lift up holy hands when we're to pray, thinking of this. I hope these few thoughts have been cheerful to our hearts tonight, thinking of a part of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every part of him is dear, but oh, the hands. And there are very many other parts about which we could speak, but we don't have the time to do that this evening. May these thoughts be a blessing to you, as they were to me as I thought on them to bring the message this evening. And let's sing in our hymnal. I think it's in here, Not What These Hands Have Done. Number 368, and not anything that you and I have done, but the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it all with every part of him, and oh, the loving heart of the Lord. And of course, if it hadn't have been for the love and the heart, he wouldn't have used those hands, but because of the love and the heart, he used those hands. And they're so beautiful, and the illustrations are so wonderful. Number 368, let's stand together as we sing.